You are listening to a sermon by Dr. Richard Caldwell, produced by Walking in Grace. Walking in Grace is a listener-supported ministry. If you'd like to know how you can help these messages reach more people, visit walkingingrace.org/media.
Join with me in turning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we read tonight beginning with the 22nd verse. God's Word says this, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." Let's go to our God and ask his blessing on the time of preaching. Our desire, Lord, is that this time of proclamation would please you, that it would be in every way submissive to what you have revealed in Scripture, that your word would go forth with clarity and therefore the authority that belongs to it, and that you would conquer our hearts with the sword of the Spirit. That tonight, wherever there is sin that has been abiding in our lives, it would be seen and mourned over and turned from, repented of, mortified, and that afresh and anew we would be submitted to you. I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for your work in all of our lives together, not just in this congregation, but your people all over the planet. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy that explains us and that sustains us, and that will see us all the way home. So, Lord, bless your church through the preaching of your word this night, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. What is marriage for? It is for the worship of Christ. It is for the pursuit of Christ. It is for the progress of the Christian. And it's that last thing that we especially focused on this morning, that marriage is for sanctification. Like everything else in the Christian life, marriage is a place where we are meant to grow. But like everything else in the Christian life, our growth in marriage is not some self-defined, self-determined pursuit. That is to say, we're not left groping for what God means for us to be in a marriage relationship. God has revealed it. God has told us what faithful marriage looks like. He has told us about the roles of husbands and wives. It is within those God-defined roles that we are meant to help each other by submitting to that design, and then from that place in which we serve the Lord and serve each other, we invest in each other's spiritual progress. On the one hand, marriage challenges us to grow in a very broad fashion. This is something that we emphasized last Sunday. Live the Christian life at home. Take everything that belongs to the Christian life and live it out in the realm of your home life, in the realm of your marriage relationship. In that sense, we are meant to grow in marriage like everywhere else. And so marriage challenges us, just like we're challenged everywhere else, to live in those graces that belong to the Christian life, those fruits that are the product of the Spirit's work in our life. But the Bible also has specific instruction for marriage. That's what we're finding in our passage, specific instructions for husbands and wives. And so just as we are challenged to grow in a very broad fashion, we're also challenged to grow in some very specific ways. There are specific lessons that we have to learn if our marriages are to glorify God. What is helpful, however, is if you take all of these specific lessons, take them all into your heart, all into your mind, strive to live them all out. The Spirit of God, through Paul, makes clear at the end of this section that all of those specifics really can be boiled down into two broad categories. You see it in verse 33. After sharing all that he does about what husbands are to be and what wives are to be, and that our marriages speak of something greater than marriage, then in verse 33 he writes, "Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband." Can you give me my responsibility in simple terms, Lord? Well, the answer in verse 33 from our Lord would be this: yes. Husbands, we can sum it all up by saying, love her. And wives, we can sum it all up by saying, respect him. See to it, husbands, that you love your wife. See to it, wives, that you respect your husband. And so tonight and then next week, we're going to focus on these two main areas of emphasis. Tonight we address husbands. Mother's Day, we're going to talk about wives. And so tonight, my brothers, we're going to focus on the fact that husbands are to grow in the love that our Savior has for his bride. Husbands are to grow in the love that our Savior has for his bride. Wives are to grow in the respect that a submissive church has to her head. Those are the two broad categories. So tonight, focusing on husbands, we must grow in the love that our Savior has given to us, that he has demonstrated toward his church. And I want to share with you tonight four things that can be said about that love. Thinking about growing in the realm of love, loving our wives better than we have, loving our wives in a way that is only explained by salvation, only explained by Christ. Four things I want you to remember. The first thing is this: that the love that we're called to live in is a worshipful love. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let the love of Christ for you be the standard by which you measure your love for your wife. Which reminds us at the very outset that we're not called to love our wife in the place of Christ. God would not be pleased if we were to make an idol of our wife, if our lives were to be focused on her in a way that would exclude Christ. No, we love our wives because we've been loved by Christ. We are members of the church, just like our wife is a member of the church. We are the Lord's bride. We have experienced his love. We know of his love. And so it's having been loved by Christ that now we have a model, an example of what it means to love her. We love our wives because we love Christ. We love our wives as we love Christ, as we are living lives that worship him. I can say it this way: it is only as we pursue Christ in love that we will ever love our wives like we should. Jesus is meant to be preeminent in our lives as men. He is to have first place, brother, in your life. Colossians 1:18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, that in everything he might have first place." We've talked about this before. When I was a very young Christian, I kind of thought of Jesus having first place as, you know, you make a list of things important to you. And so Jesus would be first, and then, you know, you have what would be second and what would be third and what would be fourth. And you sort of thought about ordering your life that way. But in reality, what the Spirit of God is saying through Paul there in Colossians 1:18 is that in every realm, in everything, in every way, Jesus is to have first place. In my marriage, first place. In my work life, first place. In my recreations, first place. In everything. In His church, first place. It's good to be reminded that the instruction we find here in Ephesians follows a section that talks about being filled with the Spirit. The matching instruction in the book of Colossians follows a section that talks about being saturated with Scripture. And so this is to love our wives well is to walk by the Spirit of God. It is to be full of the Word of God, to be in submission to the Word of God. It's only as we're walking after Christ that this instruction will ever be a matter of the heart for you. It can be information that you stored in your brain, that you have in your head, but if you're not pursuing Christ, it will never be a matter of the heart for you. And so it all begins, if you think about where do I start in loving my wife? It begins with your love for Christ. Your own devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you say, I must grow as a husband, say, I must grow as a man of God. I must grow as a spiritual leader by being a spiritual man. Are you a spiritual man? You want to be the spiritual leader in your home, but are you a spiritual man? It's foolishness, isn't it, to think you're going to love your wife as Christ loved the church when you're not loving Christ. And you're not allowing His love to be formed in your heart, in your life. So think about it this way. If I were to say to you, you need to love your wife by doing blank. You need to love your wife, brother. You need to love your wife by doing this. What comes to your mind first? Well, I need to love her by communicating better with her. I need to love her by being more thoughtful of her. I need to love her by serving better around the house than I do. I mean, what comes to your mind first? What I'm afraid of is sometimes what I would offer tonight would be somewhat counterintuitive to you. Let's think about some of these things. Love your wife by being devoted to prayer. Love your wife by being devoted to the Word of God. Are you faithful in prayer? Are you laboring in prayer? Are you in the Scriptures daily? Is there daily Bible intake? Are you a man growing in your knowledge of the Word of God? Love your wife by being devoted to the Lord's church. Right now, who has more interest in the church, you or her? Who is more devoted to the church, your wife or you? Obviously, the desire would be equal devotion and supreme devotion. But I'm afraid that there are many homes where the wife has a devotion to the church that her husband does not share. How are you going to love her well when the illustration, the comparison for your love for her is Christ's love for the church, right? This is the love of Christ you're to be walking in, but you don't have a love for the church. How do you love her like Christ loves the church when you don't love the church? Love your wife by being devoted to integrity and purity. You're not going to love your wife when you're filling your mind with the filth of this world. When your heart is set on things that dishonor the Lord. When you're not watching over the moral integrity of your own heart. We can sum it up by saying, love your wife by being devoted to Christ. Prioritize the things that make for the health of the soul. You think about leading your home. You set the pace. In a very real sense, you set the priorities for your home. Well, I want to ask you what is most important to you. If your wife just gave in to you, if she just followed your lead, Would she be led in a manner that prioritizes what is best for her soul, what is best for the souls of your children? Our spiritual matters, is Christ being served as preeminent, you see, having first place in everything? Or are there other things crowding out the things that make for spiritual health? So the first thing we can say about this love is it is a worshipful love. It begins with Christ Himself. You worship Him, you pursue Him, you learn from Him, you follow Him, you listen to Him, you submit to Him, you obey Him. And that's step number one in loving the woman whom God has given you as your wife. You will never love her well if you don't love your Lord. Second, this love is a self-mortifying love. If there is anything that stands out about the love of Jesus in these verses, is it not that His love for us was sacrificial? Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Gave Himself up for her. The love of Christ is sacrificial love. He died for us. He sacrificed Himself to save us. He humbled Himself. He laid down His life because He loved us. And He loved us to the uttermost. There is no more faithful love. There is no more enduring love than the love of Jesus. John 13, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. That's the love of Christ. Faithful. Enduring. Immovable in its commitment. No greater love than the love of Christ. John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. No more courageous, caring love than the love of Jesus. John 10, 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus died to deliver us from the wolf. He died to deliver us from sin and death and the domain of darkness, the enemy of our souls, and to save us at the same time from the wrath of God, which was justly deserved by us. Faithful love, enduring love, insurpassable love, courageous love, caring love. Now, husbands, you love her like Christ loves us. When you read that and take it into your heart, what you're going to recognize is there's a very specific area where husbands must grow. We must grow in putting selfishness to death. If the love of Christ is self-sacrificing, putting self behind, second to her interests, then it has to be a self-mortifying love. I've got to put to death my selfishness. Or if you wanted to put it positively, you could say, I've got to grow in selflessness. I've got to grow in putting what is best for my wife before myself, preferring my wife before myself. And again, this is a general Christian principle, isn't it? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. If I could just insert a thought there real quickly. Here's one of the real battles we have in the Christian life. Somehow imagining that we get time off for good behavior. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition. I've been living selflessly for so long. I've sacrificed for so long. When is it time for me? And what's the Lord's answer to that? Never. You're doing well if you're doing it for the right motive. Now keep on doing what you're doing. Because you're to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. You see, that's what exalts you. But in humility, count others more significant than yourself. You know what's battling for you to live selfishly? The thought of your own significance. I matter to me, you see. I matter. And so I ought to take care of me because I matter more than we're living like right now. But the Word of God says you're to count others more significant than you. Their significance calls for your sacrifice. So it's true to say one of the areas where husbands have to grow in Christlikeness is by simply ceasing to be as selfish as we can be and often are. Brother, are you selfish? Are you selfish at home? Are you selfish with your wife? Do you carry the heavier loads? We share life together. She's our helper. We carry things together. Some of those things are heavier than others. Who ends up carrying the heavier loads? Do you take the cold side of the hill, so to speak? The wind is blowing and it's that cold winter air and there's one side of the hill and another. And on the one side, you're going to take the wind in its full force and all of its coldness. The other side, there's some shelter. Who takes the cold side of the hill in your marriage? You or her? Do you protect her? Do you provide for her? Do you see providing for her as some privilege you're affording her? Or a privilege that God has given to you to be able to take care of her? Do you expect her? Do you allow her to outdo you in love? Who is going to outdo whom when it comes to loving? Who's going to move first? Who is going to sacrifice first? Who is going to lead the way? Are you leading the way? Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. I love that verse. Outdo one another in showing honor. This can show up in some very practical ways. I usually don't say anything because I think about my own failures and I think about how the Lord has grown me and is growing me. But it really does break my heart to see a mama trying to get somewhere, dragging four kids in bags in a stroller and her husband walking 10 feet ahead of her with nothing in his hands. I don't think that looks like the love of Jesus, do you? I know it's silly to some, but just one thing Jackie would tell you I never allowed her to do was mow the yard. It's not because she wasn't able to. In fact, we had a riding lawnmower, so it would have been okay. But I just thought about it. I mean, there she is out doing the yard work. No, let me do that. So just in very practical matters, you're leaving a place after you've had a visit with some family. Now, who gathers up all the children? Who does all the work? Dinner is finished. Everybody's finished eating. Leave her in the kitchen by herself while you go sit and watch TV. I mean, are you thinking about helping carry burdens? You say, well, I do my job. She doesn't go to me with my work and do all those things. That's how love thinks, isn't it? That's unselfishness right there. That's glowing unselfishness in that kind of a statement. What kind of love is this? It is worshipful love. It begins with love for Christ. And that flows out in a self-mortifying kind of love. It is sacrificial in nature. It considers her more important than you. And you count whatever you can do to love her as a privilege God gave to you, not a privilege you give to her. Faithful love, enduring love, insurpassable love, courageous love, caring love. unselfish love. This is the love of Christ. Third, this love is a purposeful love. Christ died to save His church, but He didn't die just to save us from the penalty of sin. He died to set us free from the power of sin. He died with a goal in mind, and that goal is the beauty of holiness. Christ also loved the church, gave Himself up for her, verse 26, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Saved us from the penalty of sin, saved us from the power of sin, praise be to God, one day from the presence of sin. His purpose for His church is holiness. Husbands love their wives with a Christ-like love when we are willing to spend and be spent for the holiness of our wives. I want you to think about this, sir. The way you speak to her, the way you behave toward her, the way you live with her, is it helping her spiritually? Or is it getting in the way? Are you contributing to her loving Christ, pursuing Christ, becoming more like Christ? Are you striving to live in a way that you would actually encourage that and contribute to that, knowing what our Lord's ordained plan for us is, knowing where we're all headed? Are you contributing to where we're all headed? Is that even on your mind? How much time have you spent this last week thinking about the spiritual condition of your wife? How to help her? Do you pray for her regularly? Do you talk to her about the Word of God? Do you talk to her about life in a way that is before the face of God? All of the life that God has given you, that you share together, are you thinking about how it all relates to your fellowship with the Lord and how it relates to the Scriptures? I talked about the importance of your purity. Are you also watching for hers? That is to say, do you protect your home from unholy influences? From a set of priorities that would lead you both away from the right kinds of choices regarding your devotion to Christ? How many men are actually wanting to lead their families in a direction that would be harmful to the spiritual well-being of their home? Wives trying to bring sanity. It's a tragedy when husbands are influential in the spiritual lukewarmness of their homes. It's a tragedy when wives are more conscientious about spiritual things than their husbands are. Let me exhort you to think about it this way. You need to love your wife in a way that you help her stand before Jesus one day and hear, "Well done." You ought to care that you hear, "Well done," but one of the aspects of that is, are you working? Are you praying? Are you contributing? Are you encouraging? Are you getting your sin out of the way so you're not a barrier, so that one day she stands before Christ and she hears, "Well done"? Is that important to you? That she finishes well. How can you love her with the love of Christ, knowing that the love of Christ was to present her and you and all of us before Himself, holy and blameless and without spot, and you not share that ambition, you see? If you love her as Christ loved the church, then His love for the church is your love for the church, and His ambition for the church is your ambition, not just for your own life, but for your family members, including the person you're married to. A worshipful love, a self-denying, self-mortifying love, a purposeful love. Fourth, this love is a self-identifying love. Verse 28, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. And then he says this, he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of His body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This may be the area where husbands struggle the most. Do you see that you and your wife are now one? The two have become one. You've entered into a profound union. God has accomplished this. You are her head. She is your helper. She's to be loved by you as you love yourself. The Spirit of God emphasizes this twice, verses 28 through 30. We just read that, emphasizes it. And then again in verse 33, nevertheless, each individual among you is also to love his own wife even as himself. Let me put it to you in a practical way. Too many men act as if what is happening in their wife's life has a minimal connection to their own life. I've got my life. She's got her life. What's happening in her life has minimal connection to me. And this passage is teaching just the opposite of that. Whatever is happening with her is happening with you, because you share life together. What this means is you can't just ignore her. You can't be harsh with her. This is something specifically taught in Colossians 3, that husbands are not to be harsh with their wives. You can't ignore her. You can't be harsh with her. You can't dismiss her feelings, her concerns. You can't mistreat her without betraying that you hold a view of your union with her that is too low. What are you doing if you're treating her like that? You're giving away the fact that you don't see your relationship with her the way God says it is. Because if you're treating her like that and you really understand your union with her, you are out of your mind. William Klein commented, quote, in making his wife prosper through his love for her, a husband prospers himself. Paul's language, however, prevents this from degenerating totally into self-interest. Christ did not love merely for his own benefit, even though he's glorified in the process. Love is essentially a matter of giving, not getting. Yet, as a husband gives of himself for his wife, he will reap the benefits of a better life and marriage. Close quote. He's right. Brother, the best thing you'll ever do for yourself is to love her. You'll reap the benefits of a better life and a better marriage. And so the husband grows spiritually in the area of love as he pursues Christ-likeness. So here's my question as we finish tonight. To my brothers, are you growing? Are you growing spiritually? Are you pursuing Christ? If I were to take your life 5 years ago, 10 years ago, would you even recognize yourself tonight? There's some of you who are so far away from where you were, and not in a good way. Are you further along? Are you growing? And are you being intentional about growing? Are you doing the things that make for spiritual growth? Are you humbling yourself? Are you repenting of your sin? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you in the Word of God? Are you loving the Lord's church? Are you loving your wife? Are you loving your children? Are you enveloping yourself in Christian friendship that will encourage you in all of these things? Are you growing? And then thinking specifically about marriage, can you say you are intentionally embracing each of these aspects of love? That you're going to love her best by loving Christ first. I will worship Jesus. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a spiritual man. I want my family, if they remember anything about me one day, I want them to remember that I loved Christ and therefore loved them. Are you putting your selfishness to death? If tonight you were to be honest with yourself, can you make a list of where you've been being selfish? And would you purpose in your heart tonight to mortify those areas of selfishness? With your word in my mind, with the help of your Spirit, Lord, I will put to death the selfishness that I'm aware of in my own life. Are you pursuing holiness? I've warned us from time to time about this. I warn us again tonight. What you think of as a liberty may well be a trap. How often are we giving ourselves permission to think in ways, behave in ways, speak in ways that we used to not give ourselves permission to do? And we think it's because we've grown, when in fact we're sliding. Pursue holiness. This is intentional and it's careful. You understand the seriousness and the deadliness of sin. You shut the door on it before it makes its way into your house. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about taking the Scripture seriously, which includes the seriousness of sin as God has revealed it. And then do you love her in a way that recognizes your union with her? Anybody, any man listening to me, you've been living like an insane person. What kind of person does damage to themselves? You've been treating your wife in a way that you wouldn't want to be treated like. Speak to her in ways you don't want to be spoken to like that. Disregard her in ways that you don't want to be disregarded. Short with her, harsh with her in ways you don't want anybody to treat you. Have you forgotten? You're one with her. What you do to her, you do to yourself. And are you treating her in a way like Christ deals with you? Marriage is for sanctification, and men must grow in the specifics of the application of love in the relationship of marriage. Lord, would you help us as men to be more like our Savior? The love our Savior has for His bride, strengthen us to demonstrate to the gift you've given us in our wife. And in that way, may the world see Jesus in us. And the men of God would say, amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the perfect model we have in Jesus. And thank you that you've made us men who have received your love and experienced your love. And therefore, we understand what's being described in these verses. We have a reference point, Lord. We've experienced it in our own lives and now have the capacity by your Spirit and the work of regeneration to demonstrate that same love to the woman whom you've given to us to be our life's helper, partner. And so, Lord, may we no longer excuse our sins. May this be the night that we humble ourselves afresh and anew. And where we are aware of things that are in contradiction to this passage, may we not justify it and excuse it and allow it to live on, but may we mortify it, put it to death even right now. And may our wives go home to a different man this night. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.